A metallic C and an arrow shape lock together to form a logo. Canon. A mountain range under brooding clouds. The Canon Group Incorporated presents a Golan Globus production. A Menahem Golan film. A red truck transporting a combine harvester on a trailer makes its way along a desolate, winding road surrounded by mountains. A well-built, muscular man is at the wheel. Starring Sylvester Stallone. Over the Top. Also starring Robert Loggia. Lincoln Hawke is behind the wheel of his truck, wearing shades and a black baseball cap. Thick black stubble peppers his upper lip, chin and jawline. Also starring Susan Blakely, Rick Zumwalt and David Mendenhall as Michael. The truck's large wheels are a blur against the tarmac, and fine grey fumes stream from two upright exhaust pipes. Lincoln smiles contentedly as he steers his dusty vehicle into a small town. The well-used truck with Hawk Hauling emblazoned on its door cruises along the main street, mountains looming in the distance. Music by Giorgio Moroder. Spectators stand up to applaud a military parade. Under the warm sunshine, young cadets in smart dress uniforms march in unison along a path flanked by neatly manicured lawns. Elsewhere, Lincoln is hosing down his rig, while another man cleans his own truck nearby. Uniformed figures bearing flags bring up the rear of the parade as it passes the spectator stands and comes to a halt before a group of officials on a raised platform. Lincoln polishes a silver hawk ornament on the front of his truck. He sprays one of his truck's tires with a cleaning fluid, then wipes it down with a rag. The uniformed youngsters are forming up before adult officers on the platform. Now, bare-chested, Lincoln splashes his face in front of a mirror. Then, as the cadets wait, standing to attention, he cleans his teeth. One young boy, Michael Cutler, takes a deep breath. Lincoln is looking in a mirror and combing his short dark hair. When he's finished, he gives his head a shake.
Regiment! Dismiss!
All formality disappears as the assembled cadets throw their caps into the air. Mike replaces his, then folds his arms and looks around him, searching the crowd of spectators as they pour from the stands. He squints in the sunshine, watching a mother hugging her uniformed son. After taking in the touching family moments around him, he sighs, turns, and walks away, straightening his cap. Now, Lincoln's rig arrives at an entrance guarded by soldiers.
Delivery's in the rear!
No, I'm here to pick up Cadet Cutler.
Okay, pass, sir.
Thanks.
Mike wanders through the excited crowd and looks around him. As the families begin to disperse, amidst the departing expensive-looking cars, Lincoln's large, faded truck approaches. It turns into a parking space just created by a shiny white limousine. The driver's door opens and Lincoln steps out, then gazes around him from the footplate before jumping down to the ground. He is wearing a blue shirt with a tie and grey trousers held up by braces and is carrying a large envelope. The well-dressed people around him give him curious looks.
Smile, everybody.
He climbs a wide flight of stone steps to a grand pillared entrance at the top and steps inside through a large doorway. Mike,
limo?
Yes, sir. Afternoon, sir.
Where's my grandfather?
I was told he will be arriving at the airport in an hour.
Cutler!
Yes, sir!
The colonel wants to see you!
Right away, sir!
With a large bag slung over one shoulder and still in his uniform, Mike runs from the waiting limo towards the main building. Inside, he enters an office, and a man at a desk gestures towards a door. He leaves his bag at the desk, strides through the doorway, then stops abruptly and salutes.
The colonel wishes to see me, sir.
Your father wishes to, cadet.
My father?
Yes, he's come to drive you home.
Hello, Mike.
Mike steps further into the office, glancing at Lincoln.
I don't have a father, sir.
This is your father, Michael.
Sir, my grandfather has instructed me to go home with no one besides himself or my mother.
Your mother has legal custody over you, Cutler, not your grandfather. And it is her request that your father bring you home.
Sir, may I ask a question?
Of course.
May I see some identification on this man, sir?
That's not called for, cadet.
It's okay. I'm ready.
Lincoln slides a large photograph out of the envelope. It shows him and his wife smiling on their wedding day. He hands it to Mike, and a short time later they're leaving the building. Mike replaces his cap as they make their way down the front steps. Lincoln follows a short distance behind, carrying Mike's bag. At the bottom of the steps, Mike glances back at Lincoln, then shakes his head and points ahead.
Are we going in this? Why can't we fly?
Well, your mother thought it'd be a good way for us to get to know each other.
How long will it take?
Well, I have one more pickup, and say 2-3 days to be in California, and your mother doesn't go into surgery, say, until Wednesday morning.
Do you really think you can make up 10 years in 2-3 days?
Lincoln shakes his head.
No.
He opens the passenger door.
Let me help
you. I can do it myself.
Glumly, Lincoln watches Mike climb into the cab, then removes his clip-on tie. Inside, Mike takes off his uniform cap and fans himself with it, looking around at the photos of him at various stages in his life pasted everywhere. Climbing into his seat, Lincoln smiles at Mike.
I'd like to say something, sir.
Sure.
This truck is disgusting.
I don't know, Mike. It's just old. Once on a stretch up to Vegas, this thing got up to nearly 100.
There's no need to make any conversation for my sake.
So much for small talk.
Mike avoids eye contact.
Okay, here we go.
The rig pulls away, belching dark grey smoke from its exhaust pipes. As it roars out of the camp gates, Mike's gaze comes to rest on a photo of him a few years younger, smiling next to his mother. He looks around at the other photos plastered over the cab.
Can I ask you a question, sir?
Sure.
How did you get all these pictures of me?
Well, your mother sent them to me.
Why?
Well, I've been writing to her for a long time, and I asked her for some pictures so I could see how you're growing up. Looks good.
If you two had been writing for a while, sir, how come I never got a single birthday card or a letter or anything?
What are you saying, Mike?
I'm saying I never heard from you.
Mike, I've written to you 100 times. Birthdays all the time. What do you mean I never?
Well, you must have sent them to the wrong address, because I never got anything.
Lincoln gives a grim look.
Sir, could you pull over, please? I'm feeling sick.
What's wrong?
Would you please pull over, sir?
The truck stops at the side of a busy highway, and Mike jumps out.
Hey! Mike!
He runs across the highway.
Mike!
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
Lincoln grabs him, but Mike's sleeve rips off and he gets away.
Mike!
He catches him again, this time grasping him firmly.
Stop it! Stop it! Wait! Stop
it. I hate you!
I hate you. We have to start someplace. Okay.
Slowly, Lincoln loosens his grip.
Let's go back.
I thought you said you took care
I
of
did,
it.
I did, Mr. Culler, but they made every...
Forget it! Yes,
the boy's mother called, Mr. Cutler. She insisted that Michael leave with his father.
Don't you understand? My daughter is in no condition to make that kind of a decision. I can't tolerate stupidity. Bring this up to the attention of the board.
Mike's grandfather, Jason Cutler, storms out.
Sorry about the jacket.
It's no problem. You'll get the bill.
Sure. You know, if you're hungry, there's a great place up here for good steak. What do you say we stop?
Sir, you're going to be a victim of cholesterol poisoning. Later in life, you'll just start to rot away.
You're just full of good humor, aren't you, Mike? Well, let's try it, anyway.
A short time later, the truck swings into a yard where other trucks are parked.
Okay.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Tom?
You're fine.
You hook me up?
No problem. Okay.
Well, I see you, Mike.
Too greasy, man.
Mike steps into a crowded, smoky diner. Several of the gruff, shabby truckers greet Lincoln as he enters.
I like this place, Mike.
I never did like the zoo, sir.
Love Sam.
Hey, Link. Hi, how
are
you
Martha.
Doing?
Fine. Hi, Martha. This is my kid, Mike.
Well, Mike.
How do you do, man?
Ma'am. Woo. I like that. So what'll it be, a couple of big steaks, Mike?
For me, Mike, I'll have chicken.
My bird, sure.
No, excuse me. For a man who exercises, you don't know much about nutrition. A fried chicken dinner with mashed potatoes and gravy contains about 1,000 calories and 50% fat. These fats have been linked to heart disease and some cancer.
So what would you like?
Tuna salad, whole wheat toast, and spring water with lemon, please.
Okay.
Double that.
All right.
Well, we can go to McDonald's.
You hawk? I said, are you Hawk?
What can I do for you?
I'm the Smasher.
A massive man with a blonde mullet.
It's a nice name.
And all I've been hearing on the road lately is this Hawk is a man to beat.
I can't believe everything you hear.
I don't believe anything. I got 1,000 since I could tear your arm off. You want it?
Yeah, yeah. Go on. He's trying to back out.
I said, you want it?
Calmly, Lincoln turns to look at him.
Why not?
All right, let's get this table ready. Let's go. Come on. I want to show this guy something. Come on. Break his arm.
Are you going to fight that guy?
I can't talk right now, Mike.
Where are you going?
You gotta go to work.
Lincoln takes off his shirt and strides over to the gathering. A bald, muscle-bound man with a mustache, wearing shades, walks towards Mike. Lincoln's expression twists with menace as the Smasher beckons him to the table.
Come on, Link.
A man slaps the Smasher around the face to psych him up, and he gets ready to arm wrestle. Lincoln turns his baseball cap back to front.
What are you doing with that guy?
He's my father.
Too bad.
Mike steps away from the bald man and climbs up onto a table to watch. Lincoln and the Smasher grasp each other's hands.
Get ready. Get ready. Go!
As the arm wrestle begins, fierce determination shows on Lincoln's face. The Smasher roars as he slowly starts bending Lincoln's arm backwards. A concerned frown flickers over Mike's face as he watches. Lincoln's hand has been pushed almost all the way back to the table. With gritted teeth, he glares at their fists, his cheeks streaked with sweat. Twisting his wrist and pushing upwards, Lincoln slowly starts to bend the Smasher's arm backwards. The veins on his forearm stand out and his face contorts as he increases the pressure. Suddenly, with a final monumental effort, he smashes his opponent's arm onto the table and wins. The bald man watches impassively, beads of sweat glistening all over his face and around his thick, dark, handlebar moustache.
You got lucky again, huh, Hawks?
How you doing, bro?
Better than you. Right now, double or nothing, what do you say?
Let's just wait for Vegas.
Come on, let's do it now. I feel like kicking some ass.
Let's wait till Vegas, okay?
You ain't got a prayer in Vegas.
We'll see.
Too bad your old man's yellow, kid. I'll see you in Vegas. Get out of the way.
Lincoln turns to Mike.
Sorry about that, Mike.
You know, you're a hustler. You hustled that man back there for money.
No.
I'd like to call my mother.
Christina, a woman in her 30s, sits near a hospital bed surrounded by cards and talks on the phone.
You have to give it time, Michael. You have to be patient. I know how you feel, but you must do it. It's important.
I know you want me to do it, but I don't even know him.
I want you to try. It's important to me.
Why? I thought everything was fine.
Michael, there's so much more to life than what you've seen, honey.
But he left you.
He had his reasons. Look, I have to go now, but I want to talk to your father first, okay? I love you.
Okay. I love you, too. He wants a tattoo.
Thanks. How you doing, honey? Mike, could you hold that? Thank you. Hi, honey, how are you? Yeah, we're having a great time. Yeah, he's very helpful. Matter of fact, he's helping me right now.
Now Lincoln's rig speeds along a desert highway, towing its new cargo trailer. Inside, Mike switches off the radio.
That was a nice song.
Mike switches it off again. Lincoln turns it back on.
Mike, I think we're wearing out this knob here.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you still dealing drugs, sir? Are you?
You think of that all by yourself, Mike?
My grandfather gave me the facts.
Truth is, I never did what your grandfather said I did, Mike. The only mistake I ever made was leave. I admit that. So how'd you like the arm wrestling match back there?
It's an experience.
Sure was.
Lincoln switches the radio back on. He sits down on her hospital bed.
Are you angry with me?
Angry? I haven't been angry with you.
Tell me the truth.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm not angry. But I am disappointed.
I just wanted him to know his father.
Michael's father is no good. And you wanted to bring him back, and this family is all wrong, Christine. I know you're worried about leaving Michael alone. But surely you understand I'm all the family Michael will ever need.
You're not his father.
I have been his father for 12 years. Let's not talk about this anymore. It's going to turn out all right. Please, trust me. Rest me, sweetheart. I'll come by a little later.
He walks out, leaving her with her eyes closed, looking exhausted. In the hallway, he speaks to a member of staff.
If there are any calls in my daughter's private line, I want to know about it.
Yes, Mr. Cutler. From the reports coming back, they can't find me.
What my grandson found, I don't care how you do it. Do it!
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I did.
Now it's nighttime. The rig hurtles onwards, its six headlights blazing and a row of cab lights above the windshield. Lincoln turns off onto a side road and brings the truck to a halt.
Why'd you stop?
I think we all need a rest.
I don't see a hotel.
Well, Mike, I thought we'd stay in the truck tonight. A lot of truckers do it.
If you can do it, I can do it.
There's the spirit.
He smiles.
Well, good night, Mike.
Good night, sir.
Mike puts his hands behind his head and leans back in his seat.
By the way, if your neck gets sore tonight, you can use my shoulder for a pillow.
Thanks anyway, sir, but I think I can manage.
You sure?
Positive, sir.
I don't mind. Sorry.
Maybe tomorrow we'll exercise a little bit.
Good night, sir.
Good night, Mike.
Mike turns away and rests his head against the door.
I think we can get along fine, Mike. You're a good kid.
He tugs the peak of his cap down over his eyes and makes himself comfortable with a contented smile. He doesn't see Mike lift his head to look at him for a moment before settling back down again to sleep. Now, morning's first light shines into the cab on Lincoln, whose head is resting on Mike's shoulder as they sleep. Later, as bright sunlight creeps over the mountains on the horizon, Lincoln is showing Mike some stretching exercises. Together, holding out their arms, they lean back, then bend down to touch their toes. They do press-ups. Then Lincoln demonstrates some arm exercises. Next, they flex their biceps by holding onto the truck with one hand and repeatedly pulling themselves up against it. They change hands and repeat the exercise. Now, Lincoln tears off the remaining arm of Mike's uniform jacket and helps him on with it, smiling. At first, Mike seems a little unsure about his new look, and they stand chatting in the morning light in front of the truck. Now they're back on the road again, with hot, barren plains stretching out in front of them. Mike seems relaxed and happy. He laughs and smiles as he and Lincoln talk together. The truck continues on its way, thundering along the sun-bleached tarmac, then climbs a winding mountain road. Lincoln demonstrates weightlifting equipment he has in the cab.
See how I do this? Put your wrist into it. You lean forward, and you put a lot of weight in there, but you have to use your whole body to it. It's like your whole body is one piece of machinery. You try it. That's it. Good grip. That's right. Lean into it. You can do it. Keep your wrist straight. Good. That's it, Mike. Now put some muscle into it.
There's more to life than just muscles.
Meaning what?
Meaning I don't see any books around. You don't read much, do you? No offense, but you're just simply on a different social scale.
You want to tell me more about the social scale?
It's been said that the average mental age for an adult is 15, just 3 years older than I am. For a trucker, it has to be in the 11 to 13 year range. Maybe 14, if they have good genetics.
You know, Mike, it's really great driving with such a tremendous intellectual like you. It's a real blessing.
Mike smiles to himself.
Why are you stopping? You're aggravated, aren't you?
Boy, I passed aggravation about a mile back.
Are you gonna get violent?
Gonna give me a break? You know, Mike, since you think it takes no brains at all, I have to be stupid and abnormal to drive a truck like this, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just come on over into my seat and let's see if you can move this machinery around, okay?
What?
Drive, genius.
Lincoln jumps out onto the road and shuts the door. Mike licks his lips apprehensively, then slides over into the driver's seat.
Okay, Mike, we got miles to go.
You know, this is an unfair test. I've never driven a truck before.
Child's play.
Well, see, what's the big deal? Just step on the clutch, press the gas, and switch the gear. This is no problem. I once drove a dune buggy.
Really? Mike, I'm impressed. Really. This would be no problem at all.
Mike flips some switches.
You're doing great, Mike. Why don't you turn the key? Okay? Now, you see that little silver button? Push it.
Mike grins excitedly.
Magic, huh? Well, Mr. Doombuggy, you ready to drive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Push the clutch in all the way. Come on, son, give it. A lot of leg.
I don't have any more.
No, you can do it. Hold it in. A little bit more. That's it. Good. Now, give it some gas. Are you ready? Okay, here we go, Captain Doombuggy. Blast off, right? Go. Gas, Mike. One more gas.
The truck leaps forward.
Got an interesting style, Mike.
Whoa.
Hold it steady, Mike. Good. Good. Get out there. I'm getting a little sick, Mike. I always wanted to be a milkshake. Mike, hit a lot of turbulence. Let's shift to second gear, okay? Now, you're doing great. Ready? Clutch all the way in. Give some gas. Ready? Okay, shift. Wow, I'm impressed. Not bad. I think we have a natural here. Okay. I think you're about ready to do it by yourself.
No!
Gotta go now, friend. Go on, hold it steady.
This is great. I'm really doing it. This is great.
Now, that wasn't so hard, was it?
What, sir?
Smiling. You're real natural. I keep you on the road. Here comes Mike.
All right.
Stay out of it from now on.
Right.
Tim.
Yes, sir.
Tim is a man in his 30s with blonde hair, glasses, and a dark suit.
We're going to have to deal with this in another fashion.
Here you go. Well,
that cake didn't have much of a chance, did it?
I was real hungry.
I'll drive in the truck and do that to you. You ready?
Oh. Can I come on?
That's a good idea. You feel good?
Yeah, why?
I mean, you feel strong?
Why?
Come with me.
Where are we going?
You'll see.
There we go.
Excuse me. Did any of you boys ever arm wrestle?
Why?
Well, I got a kid here that I think could beat any one of you guys, say, 2 out of 3 times.
He's a practical joker, sorry.
He's just a shy kid. As a matter of fact, I'm so sure I'm willing to put money on it.
Kid, if I couldn't beat you, I'd kill myself.
This is getting too intense.
You know you don't have a chance against this kid, you know that.
Yes, he does.
10-1 odds. You're 1 against my 10, fair enough.
All right, let's go. 10-1 odds, right here.
All right, 2 out of 3 times. You should take that off, that's not fair.
He's a wimp, you'll take him easy.
No gloves allowed. Concentrate, Mike. You can do it.
All right, let's start. Ready, wimp? Skin feels like a girl's.
Maybe he is a girl.
Probably.
Don't listen to him.
You hear?
Come on,
kill him!
You're gonna show him, all right? You're gonna show him. You're gonna do it. Over the top, Mike. Ready?
Start. Come on, Mike. Come on. Break
the door. Both Mike and the other kid's faces tense with the effort. The other kid glares at Mike and manages to force his hand backwards, then slams it down. Shrugging off Lincoln's hand, Mike glares at him and runs out. Lincoln knocks on the diner window at Mike. He goes to him outside.
What are you trying to do?
All you wanted to do was embarrass me. Well, you did it, okay? Grandfather always said you were a loser. Now you're trying to make me one, and I hate you for it.
Mike, I don't care what your grandfather thinks about me, okay? All I care about is you. Now, you lost back there because you beat yourself. You let yourself get beat. I know you can do it. You're a special kid. You're my boy, do you understand? But you're also a spoiled, rich brat who's always had everything done for him. Now it's time to do for yourself, Mike, and you can do it. Because I'm telling you, the world meets nobody halfway. Do you understand what that means? If you want it, Mike, you gotta take it. Do you hear me? You gotta take it. Go in there and try. I know you can win. But even if you don't, so what? So you lose. As long as you lose, like a winner, it doesn't matter. Because you did it with dignity. I'm telling you, if you don't go in there, you're gonna be sorry. You're gonna regret it your whole life. You know what I mean? Come on. I know you can do it. Will you do it for me?
He shrugs tearfully.
Come on, let's get him.
They go back inside.
You beat him. Twice as strong as he is. You just gotta believe. You just gotta believe. All right?
Thought you said he was strong.
Well, my boy was just feeling generous. Now it's time to go to work, am I?
Mike rests his elbow on the pinball machine, staring the other kid straight in the eye.
It's time to go to work.
Yeah.
Does this kid really think he can take me? I don't think so.
What a joke.
This is the table time. Smash him, Richie.
This is gonna hurt, wimp. What do you think of that?
I think your breath stinks.
Go! Come on, Mike. Come on. That's good, Mike. Come on, Mike. Come on. Hold him. Drop the weight. Hold it up, Mike. Come on. Get to him, Mike. Pump it, kid. Pump it, kid. You got him, Mike. You got him. 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 You got him.
Mike wins.
All right, way to go.
Come on. Get him. Get
him.
Come on, one more time.
Let's go, Mike. Right away.
Break your arm, punk.
Get mad. Get mad. Ready? Go. Come on, Mike.
They go again, and the strain shows on both their faces.
The power, Mike. The power, Mike.
Mike wins again.
All right, way to go. You're a tough little sucker, aren't you? That was great. That was great. Pay up now.
Money, please. Come on.
The other kid grudgingly pays up.
How do you do that?
Good genetics.
Thanks. Let's go.
Let's talk to Mom.
Right.
How am I supposed to look?
Hey, what are you supposed to do, boy?
Come on, time out.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I drove Dad's truck, and I'm a really good driver.
Great driver.
And I just had this arm wrestling match with some guy who was bigger, maybe 5'6".
Bigger.
No, 5'9".
Bigger?
Mom, you wouldn't believe it. This guy was a monster.
Oh, that's good, darling. I'm so proud of you. Is your father there? Let me speak to him, okay? I love you, sweetheart.
Okay, I love you too. She sounds so weak.
She'll be all right.
I'm gonna be outside.
Okay, Jim. Hi, Alan. Oh, yeah, it was a great idea, he and I spending time like this together.
I hope so. I know it won't be easy.
Oh, no, it's gonna be great. I know it is. So how you feeling?
Link, whatever happens, I want you to stay with him. I know how difficult it is for you, but it's really important. You need you, honey.
I will.
Please try to make things work between you and my father. He's too set in his ways to change, so maybe you can try and understand him, honey.
I'll try.
Okay. I can't wait to see you both.
Christina, he's a great kid. And I'll see you soon, okay?
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Mike!
Two men are manhandling Mike into a battered white pickup truck. Lincoln races over to it, but a third man grabs him. As the pickup swings round, Lincoln throws his attacker onto a car and punches him in the face. The vehicle speeds away, and Lincoln knocks the man to the ground, then runs over to his truck.
Why are you doing this?
Shut up!
His truck roars out onto the highway. The pickup makes a sharp turn off the highway, but Lincoln is hot on its tail.
Still coming!
Lincoln drives with grim determination, blood from his fistfight glistening on his temple. The pickup weaves across the highway to another lane, with the truck in close pursuit. Then it skids onto dusty waste ground. Lincoln's truck veers towards it, forcing the pickup to crash into its large front wheel. Then both vehicles come to a halt.
Come on, get the hell out of here! Hurry!
The men flee.
You're staying with me, you tell them that! You tell them!
You okay? You all right?
Yeah, wait, are you okay?
No, I'm all right.
Yeah, you're okay.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Sure you're okay?
Yeah. Who are those guys, anyway?
They're asked your grandfather. Look at my truck.
Lincoln inspects his truck and Mike climbs up into it. A grey-haired lawyer in a suit strides into Jason's office and places his briefcase on the desk.
I got here as soon as I could, Jason.
Yes.
I'm afraid we don't have much of a custody case.
What the hell is that?
I had my best researchers run down every applicable court case for the last 100 years. Bottom line, Jason. No judge is going to award you custody of Michael. The court is going to give him to his father unless Hawks can't support him.
Support him? How the hell can he support him? The son of a bitch has lost everything. He can't even support himself. Anyway, there's always a way to bend the law. Isn't that your job? Why don't you find the loophole?
I want my boy.
Now, in the hazy sunshine of late afternoon, Lincoln's truck cruises along a freeway on the outskirts of a large city. He and Mike are arm wrestling.
Come on.
Over the top.
Over the top. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, you're getting too good. You're going to be a great one, kid.
Almost as good as you, right?
Well, I think you'll be better than me.
You think you're going to do good in Vegas?
I'm betting on it. See, what I'd like to do is get enough money together and maybe buy a small company and hire some smart guy like you to be president.
Isn't that such a bad idea?
That's a great idea.
But what if you lose?
Hey, Mike, you're not supposed to say that.
Can I ask you a question without you getting mad?
Sure.
Why'd you leave us?
Well, I had some reasons.
That's not an answer.
All I can say, Mike, is I made a mistake. I know that. You know, sometimes it happens in life. We all make mistakes. But it won't happen again.
Mike grins.
Yeah, you're going to be a great one.
Think so?
Yes. I'm glad I'm not going against you, tough guy.
Now it's dusk, and with its powerful headlights blazing, the truck approaches a large modern hospital. Inside, Lincoln helps Mike straighten his tie.
You okay?
Yeah, how do I look?
You look great. You're not nervous, are you?
He pats his son on the back and they go up to a reception desk.
Excuse me, could you tell me what room Mrs. Christina Hawk is in, please?
What is she admitted for?
Heart surgery. She'd probably be in a private room.
Can I ask who you are?
I'm her husband.
Possibly you'd rather talk to one of the doctors on the case.
Well, what's wrong?
Excuse me.
The woman goes to speak to a gray-haired doctor. Mike frowns anxiously, and Lincoln gives him a reassuring nod. As the woman speaks to the doctor, they glance in Lincoln's direction with concerned expressions, which unsettle him. The doctor steps over to him.
Mr. Hawk, I'm sorry. Your wife died this afternoon in the operating room.
A short distance away, Mike's eyes widen with fear as he sees his father hang his head. He swallows nervously, and when Lincoln finally turns to look at him, Mike can bear it no longer and runs outside.
Mike! Mike!
Lincoln races after him.
Mike!
If you would have never come to pick me up, I would have seen her. I wouldn't be running around in that truck unless she was dying.
Mike, nobody knew, Mike.
You've never been around when anybody needed you. Taxi! Taxi! Taxi, take me to the station.
Mike! Mike!
The taxi pulls away before Lincoln can get to it. A funeral.
We're gathered here to commit the body of Christina Marie Cutler Hawk to the ground from which it came. We commend her soul to the Lord, that in his mercy...
That must be done.
Lincoln walks over with some flowers, watched by Jason. Mike looks at him, sobbing.
That in his mercy, she may attain everlasting life. And now let us pray with the psalmist. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Mike watches his father walk away. Now, by the pale light of the setting sun, Lincoln is sitting on the back of his truck, almost completely silhouetted against the darkening sky. He toys idly with a small torch, turning it on and off, as the dusk breeze tugs at his hair. He gets to his feet and gazes around him with a somber expression, then jumps down off his truck. Now he drives through the night in his rig, headlights blazing and fumes trailing from its two exhaust pipes. The black and white image of the approaching truck appears on a security guard's monitor, and he goes to investigate. Lincoln clambers out. The guard shines a torch in Lincoln's direction, watching him suspiciously, as he strides calmly to speak to another man at the main gates.
Yes?
I'd like to talk to Jason Cutler, please.
You're not wanted here.
Would you tell him that Lincoln Hawks would like to talk to him?
Like I said, you're not wanted here.
I want to see my boy.
Move it out.
Lincoln looks at the large mansion.
Move. Get this thing the hell out of here before I call the police.
Lincoln nods, then walks away slowly. He turns to look back at the man, and they eye each other briefly. The truck's six headlights blaze fiercely in the darkness as the vehicle backs up along the driveway. In his cab, Lincoln stares ahead grimly. Suddenly, the truck hoves into view, racing back down the drive, and bursts through the main gates, sending security guards leaping out of the way. It bashes aside a security car and bumps over a lawn and through an elaborate fountain, toppling a row of lamps styled as classical statues. It careers onwards, smashing through the front door and grinding to a halt. Lincoln strides into the building.
Mike! Mike! Hawks!
Please. Mike, please.
Do you actually think that you can get away with what you've done? You think you can come in here, destroy my home, and take Michael with you? Michael Cutler is my boy! You deserted him years ago, and that's a fact that you can't change, no matter what you do. Damn you!
Damn you.
Men restrain Lincoln. Jason holds back his grandson as his men battle with Lincoln. Police arrive and Lincoln is cuffed.
All the way out.
Jason watches from the stairs as Lincoln is marched out. Distraught, Mike runs onto a balcony overlooking the entrance. Lincoln looks up and their eyes meet for a long moment before he is bundled into the back of a squad car. As he looks up out of the car window at Mike, Jason appears at his side, resting a hand on his grandson's shoulder. The police car pulls away from the front of the house, the red and blue light on its roof flashing. A prison guard unlocks a cell.
Move your hat.
Lincoln is inside.
You Hawks? Let's go. Wait here.
He does as he's told, sweat staining his grey t-shirt.
Straight ahead. Somebody here to see you, Hawks.
He walks alongside the guard, carrying his jacket. In another room, he and the guard pass an officer sitting at a desk.
Yeah, right over there.
Sit down.
He sits down opposite Tim, who's on the other side of a wire grill.
I'll make this brief, Hawk. I'm Tim Salinger, Mr. Cutler's personal secretary. As you can see, you've got a serious problem on your hands. More than ever now, you'll need money for attorneys, additional expenses. What we want is for you to leave the state. Don't come back, we won't prosecute. If you decide to contest the whole matter of legal custody, you won't have a prayer. We retain the finest law firms. That's it? What do you say?
What's Mike saying?
Ask him yourself.
Tim gets up from his seat and walks away. He calls through an open door.
Michael.
Mike steps in, dressed smartly in a striped shirt, red tie, and a buttoned-up blazer. Lincoln smiles at him.
At ease, Mike.
Mike smiles and takes a seat. His brown hair is neatly combed.
Now, you're not going to tell me to leave too, are you?
No.
It's good. I was beginning to think I was unpopular.
I don't know what to think.
Mike, I know you don't trust me. I don't blame you. I haven't earned that yet.
I just feel like I have a home here. You know what? I mean, if I went with you, where'd we go? Where'd we end up?
Together is all I can guarantee.
You say this now, and then you leave.
Mike, I'm just a father who messed up pretty bad. I know that. I've done things real wrong. Now I want to try to fix everything up as best I can. I want to give you what's inside of me. I may not have much, and I may never have a lot, but I've got something inside I want to give to the only person that means something to me. You.
Mike shakes his head.
I can't go with you.
Lincoln looks at him sadly. Lincoln closes his eyes, then puts his hands over his face and clasps them together. He looks at Mike through the wire mesh.
I understand.
Mike stands up. Lincoln looks at him, then he too gets to his feet. He smiles at his son. Mike's lips part as if he is about to say something, but he glances over his shoulder and changes his mind. He turns, and as he walks away, Tim approaches.
Should I drop the papers?
Lincoln picks up his jacket.
Yeah.
He walks away. Tim puts a hand on Mike's shoulder and leads him out. Now Lincoln is driving his rig along a straight and empty highway, surrounded by desert scrubland and mountains baking in the fierce sun. In his cab, Lincoln is heaving on his weights with his right hand. His truck thunders past a sign saying, Nevada State Line, good luck. Mike is in an expensively furnished room at his grandfather's. He opens an ornate cabinet and takes out a pile of letters, then perches on the arm of a chair to leaf through them. After a moment, he throws them back into the bureau. Meanwhile, Lincoln's truck cruises along a Las Vegas street in the sunshine. Mike is rummaging through drawers in a dresser, but finds nothing of interest to him. Lincoln has parked his truck on a dealer's dusty lot.
I appreciate your feelings about your truck. Best offer I can make. Cash, though. $7,000. Take it or leave it.
Not give me much of a choice. Okay. You got a deal.
Yeah.
Mike searches a closet.
I'd like to keep the Hawk, though. Okay?
Take it.
Lincoln reaches up for the Hawk ornament on his truck's hood. And Mike opens another closet. Now, a sign reads, Hilton welcomes International Arm Wrestling Championships. Mike continues searching through drawers in a bedside table and finds a handbag. Lincoln strides across a hotel parking lot as Mike opens the handbag. He finds a stack of letters inside and goes through them as Mike strolls into the glitzy, bustling hotel. Mike sees that all the letters are addressed to his mother.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you to this year's event.
Mike stops, seeing an envelope addressed to him. He takes the letter from inside. It's signed, Love, Dad. He starts to read it excitedly.
What are the odds on Lincoln Hawks?
Kelly, what are the odds on Hawks?
Lincoln Hawks. 20 to 1.
20 to 1, pal. Pretty long shot.
I'd like to bet 7,000 on it.
That's what I call gambling.
Mike is still reading the letter with a smile. He looks down at the numerous other letters addressed to him and grins with delight. Lincoln steps onto some scales.
John Grizzly, 238.
Meanwhile, Mike is climbing out of a window and over a small balcony onto a terrace roof beneath him. He drops his jacket to the ground, then jumps down after it. He climbs over some railings and runs to a wall which he clambers over.
My name?
That's right.
Lincoln looks up at the Grand Champion Prize, a gleaming new black and orange truck. Mike sneaks into a garage where a selection of expensive cars are stored. Pulling on his jacket, he runs through the building. Electronic doors rise open and an immaculate white 4x4 rolls out, with Mike at the wheel.
What are you doing? Where are you going? Stop!
Arm wrestling is a combination of speed, strength, and technique, coupled with mental attitude, sight, dedication.
Security men chase after Mike.
Move it! Go!
Not much longer, ladies and gentlemen. The preliminaries will be underway. This is the
As the competitors prepare for their bouts, the white 4x4 lurches to a stop at a junction. Mike checks behind him and sets off.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Arm Wrestling World Championship competition.
Two competitors grip each other's hands.
There are seven different weight classes for men and women. They come from all over the world. Japan, France, Italy, Switzerland. Truly the best arm wrestlers in the entire world. One reminder, once again, this is a double elimination competition. You have to lose twice to be out. In other words, if you lose once, you still have one more chance. Okay, the preliminary rounds this morning and the men's finals tonight. And don't forget the women. They're competing for $50,000 in prize money. Are we ready, referees? Start the competition. Good luck to all of you.
Bull, the bald man with the handlebar moustache, glares at his opponent. He wins easily, just as Lincoln wins his wrestle. One man looks outraged at a decision.
For the five-time world champion, Bull Hurley.
Mike weaves the 4x4 through freeway traffic as his dad begins his next arm wrestle, which he wins. A man punches the air in victory and the crowd goes wild. A female competitor wins as Mike concentrates on overtaking traffic. Lincoln's face contorts with effort and he just manages to win another arm wrestle. Mike brings the 4x4 to an abrupt halt outside an airport.
Why you just can't leave this truck here like that?
You can keep it.
Hey, you, come back here! Come here, you!
Lincoln turns his cap round and grips his next opponent's hand. Moments later, he easily slams the man's hand down to the table. Jason's security men arrive at the airport.
There's our car. Take me to Mr. Cutler's plane.
More arm wrestles are fought and won. A man yells aggressively, wild-eyed. Another man loses his bout and holds his injured wrist.
Oh, we have trouble with our German friend. Looks like personal injury over here on table number 2.
He screams in agony. A private jet lands on a runway as the crowd watching the arm wrestling goes wild. Lincoln wins another bout as the jet speeds along the runway. Lincoln and Bull exchange comments as they pass each other in the crowd. Now the plane comes to a standstill and a door opens.
We're already down to the last 32 competitors. Go! Oh, looks like he's going to be here for the finals. He's still the man to beat.
Not to make to the hilt, but understood.
Yes, sir. All right, fight.
Wild-looking muscular arm wrestlers try to psych each other out. Lincoln passes a man being geared up by someone slapping his face repeatedly. Male and female winners scream and shout with jubilation.
And that concludes the winners' competition.
As a man's hand is lifted in victory, a passenger jet taxis on a runway.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
and welcome back to our world championship competition.
The plane comes to a stop.
We're approaching the main event. First of all, the semifinals. Fighting will take place on these four tables, and the eight best arm wrestlers in the world will be competing.
Mike sees one of his uncle's men waiting in the airport terminal.
There's Michael.
Look over the back. They've come from every nation on earth. 500 competitors started here this morning. Now we're down to the final eight. The final eight.
Mike runs down some outside steps as Bull limbers up.
Let me remind you, please. This is a double elimination competition. If you lose twice, you're out. Double elimination competition.
Mike jumps onto a luggage carrier and quickly hides himself under the suitcases.
They've come from everywhere. They want to have a chance to win $100,000 in prize money. They will also have the opportunity to win a $250,000 Volvo White tractor truck. Right now, though, let's introduce our eight semifinalists. They're the best there is in the world of arm wrestling. Let's introduce John Grizzly, three-time winner from the World Arm Wrestling Association.
When I get to the table, that person, I don't care who they are, they're my mortal enemy. I hate them.
I'm not so enthused about people coming up and patting me on the back, saying you're the best. I don't need people to do that to me. If I win, it's just because I wanted to be the best one time in my life.
My whole body is an engine. This is a fire plug, and I'm going to light him up.
The Canadian champion, 2 years running, Carl Adams.
I should be able to blow them away real easy. There's a lot more technique involved, and you can't beat experience.
Carl Adams, ladies and gentlemen.
Get me!
And the newcomer from the truckers division, Lincoln Hawk. Lincoln Hawk, over here.
Tell you the truth, the truck is the most important thing for me. It doesn't matter if I become the champion or anything. That's not the most important. I need this truck.
Lincoln Hawk from the Truckers Division. And finally, five-time arm wrestling world champion, Bull Hurley. The turn for Bull Hurley.
I drive truck, break arms, and arm wrestle. It's what I love to do, and it's what I do best.
Unprecedented six arm wrestling world championship title.
Being number one is everything. There is no second place. Second sucks.
And now, semifinalists, please take your turn. Remember, this is a double elimination tournament. Two losses and you're out of the competition. Tell it all. Are we ready to go? All right, gentlemen, let's start the competition. Good luck to all of you. Over here we have Blake Hawk and John Grizzly competing. This is going to be a tough match.
In the airport terminal, Mike appears on the conveyor amongst the luggage. Lincoln's getting ready to arm wrestle John Grizzly. As soon as they start, Lincoln pushes his whole body weight behind his arm. Mike is hurrying through the airport and notices that the arm wrestling competition is being shown on TV. He stares up at a bank of screens and sees that they're being held at the Las Vegas Hilton.
And on table number two, Lincoln Hawk and John Grizzly. This should be a tough match. Grizzly looks like he's getting him over the top. Grizzly looks like he's got Lincoln Hawk in trouble.
Lincoln's face is turning purple with effort, but his hand is steadily being pushed back by Grizzly. Lincoln loses. In slow motion, he sits up, his face glistening with sweat and looking dejected. Grizzly holds his arms up in the air, bellowing triumphantly through his bushy brown beard. Hanging his head despondently, Lincoln takes off his cap and wipes his brow. His dark hair hangs loosely around his face, and he runs his fingers through it.
Johnny Grizzly is our winner. Grizzly has won again. And the newcomer, Lincoln Hawk, has lost his first finals match. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, please remember, this is a double elimination. Each of these semi-finalists have another chance. You have to lose twice to be out of the competition.
In his immaculate dark suit, Jason Cutler looks out of place amongst the raucous crowd.
Get him up to my suite. I want to talk to him.
Lincoln's arm is being looked at.
Yeah. Too hard. But I'm tearing it.
Hawk.
What do you want?
Mr. Cutler wants a word with you. He's waiting in the presidential suite.
Ed?
Yeah?
How long before I go on again?
Got about a half hour.
I'll be there. Come on, let's go! You can get it!
Come in, Hawk. You want a drink? You don't have to stay sharp. I understand you already lost your first match.
What do you want, Cutler?
We don't have to be enemies.
I never wanted to be your enemy.
All right, then. Let's get right to it. With Christina gone, I have no family left in my life, except for Michael. You never had anything, so you have nothing to lose. Hawk, you can believe what you want to. But you're a deserter, plain and simple. You deserted your wife and your son.
You were tearing us apart.
Don't try to clear your conscience at my expense. You're a liar. You deserted them.
We finished.
I'm not through with you yet. Come on outside, I want to show you something. Come on!
He barges out onto a roof garden and strides over to the wall at the edge. Lincoln follows him.
Down there in the parking lot, in front of the hotel. That's the finest rig that money can buy. If you want it, it's yours. Here's a check for $500,000. Take it and get the hell out of my life.
What are you trying to do? I gave you custody of the boy. I signed papers. What more do you want?
I'm trying to make things easy for you, Hawk. You don't need Michael as a meal ticket anymore. You're on a free ride. So take the truck. Take the money. Start a new life. Start your own family.
Start a family. This is over. I'm coming to get him.
You're going back on your word.
Yeah.
You signed over custody, and Michael will never go with you because you're a loser. You've always been a loser!
Mr. Cutler is talking to you.
I'm through talking.
The security man shoves Lincoln, so he punches him and hurls him through the glazed doors. Lincoln steps over him on his way out with a dark, brooding look.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing with our semi-final series of matches.
You're mine!
This is a double elimination tournament. Any competitor who loses twice out of the eight who are on these four tables.
I'm going through you like gas through a funnel.
Grizzly downs a can of gold liquid that looks like motor oil and grimaces menacingly at Lincoln.
Get him off of my butt! Spider, you keep me out of my gun! I don't see it! Get him off that gun! What the fuck? I see it!
As the wrestle starts, Lincoln leans back, the bulging, tensed muscles in his shoulders and arms gleaming with sweat, and his expression twisted with effort. A shocked expression crosses Grizzly's face, and Lincoln wins. Passing an array of neon signs, Mike checks his watch in the back of a taxi. Bull wins his bout.
beaten Harry Belasco, and Bull Hurley goes on to the finals.
Almost as soon as the bout starts, Mad Dog Madison's expression turns to shock at the power in Lincoln's arm. Their clasped hands tremble and start to lean first one way, then the other. Finally, Lincoln slams his opponent's hand down.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're approaching the most important event of this unique and exciting competition, the final phase. In the world of arm wrestling, we call this Over the Top. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring on our four finalists. Our first finalist, from Jacksonville, Florida, undefeated in 5 years. Let's bring him on, Bull Hurley.
His bald head glistening with beads of sweat, Bull looks around at the spectators with a fearsome glower. He nods in approval at their chants and holds his fist in the air.
His opponent, two-time Canadian champion, Slammin' Carl Adams. The winner will meet one of these two, Boston, pride of the Teamsters, Harry Bosco.
Bosco acknowledges his fans. Lincoln is sitting by the prize truck and turns as his name is mentioned. He gets to his feet and strides through fans who clap, cheer, and pat him on the shoulder.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give our four finalists a big round of applause.
Can't lose, officer.
Shut up and get your hand on you.
Say it. Don't get your hand on me.
Shut up, officer.
There's no break up lost here.
I can't lose, officer.
Mike is pushing his way through the unruly crowd.
A lot of talking to the referee going on, too. The referee has his work cut out for him, trying to settle.
He tries desperately to get his father's attention. Bosco is disputing something with the ref.
That's too far. I'm the ref. Get your elbow back in there.
One of Jason's men finds Mike, but he manages to get away by crawling through people's legs. Bull's having a tough fight against Carl Adams. The man is still hunting for Mike. Finally, Lincoln and Bosco clasp hands.
Come on, man.
Get
your shoulders square. I'm not going to start until you got a square here.
Back at the determination.
Ready, go! Lincoln, a quick way!
A quick and easy victory for Lincoln. Bosco is outraged and has to be restrained.
Hey, I've been cheated! I wasn't ready, I said!
Hey, break it up!
Set it up, man!
Carl Adams is heaving against Bull, but his effort is in vain.
And Bull Hurley is won! Bull Hurley goes on to the final match of the competition!
Sitting alone under the stands, Lincoln pulls on a new t-shirt, a black one with the words New York on the front. Mike spots him.
Mike, what are you doing here?
Again?
Huh?
I have to see you.
How'd you get here?
Dad, it's a long story, but listen, I want to stay with you.
Thanks. Do you?
Yeah.
I want you to stay too, but I don't think your grandfather's going to let that happen.
But I want to be with you, Dad.
I'll be with you too, but I don't have any money. I just sold the truck.
That's okay. You're gonna win, like you said, Dad. Remember? You'll win that big old truck and you can start your own business.
Mike, in this last match, I think I pulled a little too hard. And this guy I'm going against, Bull Hurley, he hasn't lost in about 5 years. And I don't know, he's good, Mike. He's real good. I just don't know.
Are you saying you're gonna lose?
I might.
Mike looks at him, then stands up and puts his hands on his hips.
I don't believe this. All that talk about never giving up was all lies. You never believed it yourself. And what you said to me, remember? Now is the time to do for yourself. There will be nobody halfway. If you want it, you gotta take it.
Mike.
You weren't talking about me. You were talking about yourself, weren't you?
Mike, please.
Now is your chance, Dad. Don't you see? I don't care about what happened before, so you can stop trying to prove yourself to me. It doesn't matter if you win or lose, Dad. I don't care about that. All I care about is being with you, Dad. I love you.
Lincoln hugs him tightly.
We'll try, okay? He's a big guy.
So are you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the final match!
The excited crowd claps and cheers.
The referees from the International Arm Wrestling Council!
A team of burly men in black and white striped tops.
The finalists, undefeated in 5 years, part-time world champion, Bull Hurley!
Bull scowls and holds up his arms.
And ladies and gentlemen, the sole remaining challenger, Lincoln Hawk, the man who has surprised everybody here today.
Mike gives his dad a pep talk as he accompanies him to the table, which is mounted on a raised stage in the center of the arena.
The challenger and the champion!
You're mine!
And Lincoln Hawk, or should we say, David and Goliath. The winner here tonight will walk out of here with a World Cup, a $250,000 trunk from the Volvo White Company, $100,000 in cash, and the title of Arm Wrestling World Champion.
Doesn't even belong on my arm wrestling table. That's my area. That's my game.
Our two finalists are now psyching each other up. Can you imagine? Link Hawk is giving away just about 100 pounds to Bull Hurley. That's a lot to give away in arm wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. Where strength is the line.
Let's go.
Yeah! All right, gentlemen, let the competition begin. Yeah! May the best man win.
What I do is I just try to take my hat and I turn it around, and it's like a switch that goes on. And when the switch goes on, I feel like another person. I feel like a truck, like a machine.
I own you. You've been ducking me for years.
Let's go.
You know that?
Come on, Hawk, back in here now.
Dad, don't let him psych you, Dad. Remember what you told me. You can do it. I know you can, Dad.
Get in here. Come on.
Grab the shoulder.
You got no power, Hawks. You got no power.
Rubber down.
Back off, or I'm going to give you a world of hurt, little man.
And all I want to do is hurt him, cripple him, get him off the table, and so he never dares try to compete against me again.
Ready!
The two men lock arms, their faces contorting under the strain. Bull ups the pressure, forcing Lincoln's arms slowly backwards. With a supreme effort, Lincoln starts to pull it back, slowly driving Bull's arm back upwards. Suddenly, he lets go. Bull thumps the table in frustration.
Now when the two arms come apart, that means the strap is going to be put on.
So bring them fingers down.
Bring it down.
Michael, we're going home as soon as this is over.
Dad, come
the strap
on,
is
you
on
gotta
now.
Win.
Ladies and
Dad,
gentlemen,
please.
Now they're locked right to the finish of the match.
The two men's hands are locked together in a leather strap. Bull punches Lincoln in the face, making his nose bleed.
Nose hurt, Hawks.
Dad, come on, Jacob!
It looks like he's going to be okay.
Get in here!
This match is unbelievable!
Ready, go!
What a move by Bull Hurley! He has
Bull is rapidly gaining the upper hand as he forces Lincoln's arm backwards.
He's going down!
Come on, Dad!
He's putting everything he has on him! He's coming back! He's coming back! This match is unbelievable! Back and forth!
Now Lincoln has the upper hand.
There's nothing there! Tell you! You ain't got it!
Dad!
With a burst of effort, Full forces Lincoln's arm back. Lincoln is weakening. Jason glances round at the crowds and Mike bites his lip nervously.
I owe you!
Dad!
Lincoln glances over at his son.
Give it up!
With renewed effort, he grits his teeth, alters the position of his arm slightly, and starts to drive Bull's arm backwards. Sweat pours from Lincoln's face, and blood oozes from his beaten nose, but Bull is starting to feel the pressure.
Maybe Bull, just too strong. Maybe he's just too strong. It looks like Lincoln's in big trouble right now.
Everything goes into slow motion as, with superhuman effort, Lincoln changes the position of his hand, rotating his wrist and extending his fingers. In the crowd, Mike yells with excitement. Lincoln wraps his fingers over the top of Bull's hand, and Bull screams in agony. Now there's no stopping Lincoln, as slowly but surely, he drives Bull's arm back up to the center. Bull's eyes bulge in disbelief as Lincoln slowly starts to gain the upper hand. A man in the crowd stands up with excitement. Bull shifts around the table trying to get a better grip and sweat drips from his face. Lincoln shuts his eyes, concentrating all his effort on levering Bull's arm down to the table. In the crowd, Mike can hardly contain his excitement. With one final push, Lincoln wins the match. Mike rushes up to hug him.
Champion! Leacock is the new champion! Champion of the world, ladies and gentlemen!
The crowd's gone mad.
Incredible! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! After 5 years, the world champion has been defeated! We have a new world champion! Leacock, ladies and gentlemen! A new world champion! This is unbelievable!
Lincoln lifts his son up into the air jubilantly. Then Mike wraps his arms around his father's neck and they hug. The silver trophy is passed over the heads of the crowd towards the new champion. Mike takes hold of it and lifts it above his head, wearing his father's cap. Lincoln spins round, then father and son grin at each other with exhilaration. The crowd are all on their feet, applauding and cheering. As Lincoln flexes the muscles of his right arm in a strongman pose, Jason watches the happy pair with grim tears of emotion. But then, when he sees Lincoln shut his eyes and hug his son tightly, his expression softens and he nods, allowing himself a resigned smile. Later, Lincoln and Mike are strolling away from the Las Vegas Hilton. Mike dressed in a white t-shirt and trousers.
Why don't we just start our own trucking company? You know, we could call it Sun and Hawk.
Sun and Hawk?
Yeah, I like it.
Not too bad. Well, how do you think Hawk and Sun sounds?
Hawk and Sun?
What do you think of that?
Hawk and Sun. Hawk and Sun. Hey, I think it just might work.
They climb into their brand new orange and black grand prize truck.
Can I drive later, Dad?
You're an equal partner, right?
Lincoln shuts the door and starts her up. When I watch you walk away, I can hear the words you say. In another time, as night begins to fall, they drive off through the city. Cause it's something that you knew. Make it right, make it true. You know you've got to break on through. There's only one thing.